The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada here at the D in lovely Las Vegas. Kelly's popping his collar already. You good? Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Every day I'm going to say that to you this week.
I was going to say.
We are workhorsing through the week. That's what we do.
That's right.
Yes.
We're doing it.
Football. Nothing but football. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Again, if you've already started your Thanksgiving travels, safe travels to you. As you get to family and friends, we got football on our minds. Drew Dinsick will be with us to talk NFL and a little NBA from both the Deep Dive and NBC Sports Bet podcast. Matt Cox on college basketball. A lot of Pete Futak today. We got to talk college football, man. What a time of year. The end of college football as we know it, heading into next year's new conference landscape, new 12-team playoff format, but this is rivalry week, so we got to talk to him about all the games going on, plus a little sports talk. I'm going to get a little sports talk with college football. I feel like I haven't talked enough about it, and there's some things on my mind that I want to get into with him.
All right.
Like the end of Caleb Williams' career, for instance, which was kind of ended with a whimper a little bit in college football.
Yeah. Harbaugh saying some weird things.
We'll talk Michigan. I always talk about ridiculous coaching decisions in the NFL. There was one that I wanted to focus on in college football. We'll get into a whole bunch of stuff with him. First, though, the NFL last night, the marquee matchup of the weekend, Super Bowl rematch. The Eagles somehow beat the Chiefs in the end, 21-17. That hurt for me, not only bet-wise, but also contest-wise. I had the Chiefs in this one. And we will focus on the main points of this game, because if you missed it, boy, oh boy, the Chiefs have no one to blame but themselves in this one. First of all, 7-7 game. This is after Jalen Hurts was picked by L'Jarius Sneed. We're talking second quarter now. The Chiefs matriculate. They have it first and 10 at the Philly 14. This is a tie game at 7. Mahomes picked by Kevin Byard in the end zone. That was 6:45 left in the second quarter. It was intended for Justin Watson, who had scored earlier. That was a bad pass by Patrick Mahomes. Let's start there.
Yep.
Underthrown. If he had gone wide and deep, that might be a touchdown. So the first sort of demerit goes to Patrick Mahomes himself. But the Chiefs do rebound in that second quarter and in that first half, and they end up with a 17-7 lead at the half. By the way, did you see the spike that set up the field goal, Harrison Butker's field goal to end the half? Do you see that Jalen Carter almost picked off that spike?
So I feel like I've brought this up multiple times. I'm the guy that, especially if there's NBA games going on, I know what's going on towards the end of the half, right? I'm jumping around channels. So I missed it in live action. I saw I saw it all over social media later, though.
It's a pretty amazing attempt.
Okay. My first five times watching it, my reaction was, yo, this is amazing. This is amazing.
It's amazing.
But then, you know what? On the sixth time watching it, this is where I'm going to go poo-poo things again.
Yeah.
Do you really think Patrick Mahomes spiking a ball into the ground like a defensive tackle, even if with your hands right there, that's still a very difficult ball to corral and actually catch?
Of course it is. But the quarterback does have to throw it somewhat forward.
Yeah.
And I just marvel at anything new that we've never seen before.
Me too. It was very, very cool. Yes.
Check mark.
And it was there.
For creativity on that. Anyway, the Chiefs go into the half 17-7. They're up. 10 KC points after the 2-minute warning. Nick Sirianni tried to correctly manipulate the timeouts when Kansas City had the ball, when they got it to 14-7 on that drive, but it was a Philly 3-and-out where Hurts was sacked on a couple plays. You know, this was a and then the Chiefs got the ball back to get that field goal. So 17-7 at the half, and it looked like for those who had the Chiefs, okay, good position. Maybe they can coast in here for the victory and the cover. The second half, though, started out with, you know, a trade of punts. First of all, Philly with a 3-and-out, then a Kansas City punt, then a couple 3-and-outs that both teams traded. And then this is where it started to get. So Philly then makes it 17-14. They had a 7-play, 61-yard drive, only took 2 minutes and 53 seconds. Hurts in from 10. 17-14, Kansas City with 4:05 left in the third quarter. And here's where the shenanigans really started for Kansas City. And remember that Mahomes failure on the would-be touchdown pass to Justin Watson earlier. So this is the fourth quarter now. Kansas City has fourth and inches in Philly territory. Pacheco goes for two. The next play, Mahomes to Kelce. This is deep in Philadelphia territory. Hit by Bradley Roby. Kelce spins. Hit by Bradley Roby. He fumbles. It's recovered by Nicholas Morrow of the Eagles. So inside the red zone, there's a turnover. The second turnover for the Kansas City Chiefs in this ballgame. The first that that Mahomes pick. I don't know if you started getting these, but as soon as Kelce fumbled that ball, the what was he doing in Buenos Aires over the bye week? Why was he not paying attention to football? Those texts started rolling in at right at that moment on cue.
Yeah.
As soon as he fumbled that football.
I'm never going to be a part of that. Like you do what you want on your bye week. I don't care. That is.
Yeah. That's two red zone turnovers. Philly then has a three and out. So Kansas City does get the ball back. Here's where they get it to the Philadelphia 39-yard line. Fourth and four, 9:04 to go in the game. They're up three. And Andy Reid, without seemingly any equivocation, brings out the punt unit.
Yeah.
A touchback,
yep.
Which nets you 19 yards total. Before he even brings out the punt unit, everyone who watches football with any sort of, you know, game, with any sort of knowledge, is like, you got to go for this here. It's 2023. We all know you go for it here. Not Andy Reid. He punted it there, which was super curious. Buck and Aikman say nothing about it.
Oh.
And you're just like, okay, good God, what am I watching here? And of course, the Eagles immediately matriculate the ball down the field. 80 yards. Hurts took his push from the one after a Hurts to Devonta Smith, 41-yard pass. And the Eagles lead this one for the first time, 21-17, 6:20 to go. Kansas City would have a three and out. Philly would start with 5:28 to go. They would be forced to punt after a big holding call on Jordan Mailata. Chiefs started their own nine with 2:49 to go with one timeout now. They end up with a fourth and two at their own 18. That after a Kelce drop, cue more texts about Buenos Aires and Taylor Swift. Then Mahomes to Kelce for four. They do convert on that. Then Mahomes to Kelce for 13, 15 added on a roughing the passer call on Fletcher Cox with 1:56 to go. And you're like, okay, here we go. The Chiefs are going to get this done. But second and 10 from their own 49, Mahomes deep to Valdez Scantling behind Bradley Roby. Going to be a touchdown off his hands. One of five drops on the night. One more would be coming. That would be one of four at that point for the Chiefs. This has been plaguing them all season. They lead the NFL with 26 drops. The next closest team is the Jets with 20. That was the fourth of five on the night. That one, though, to Valdez Scantling, the most brutal. They could have won the game with that one. And then after an intentional grounding call, Chiefs left the fourth and 25 at their own 34 with 1:35 to go. That one off of Justin Watson's hands. Ball game, 21-17 Philly. 26 drops on the season, as I said. A season high five drops in that ball game. Three on the final drive because Kelce had dropped one earlier. Two red zone turnovers, as we mentioned. One drop touchdown included in that. And Kansas City now, going scoreless in the second half in this ballgame against the Eagles, has scored 5.3 points per second half this season. The Patrick Mahomes-led Kansas City Chiefs, including a grand total of 0 points in the second half the last 3 weeks versus Denver, Miami, and Philly. That's out of control. You know who scored more points than the Kansas City Chiefs this year? The Cleveland Browns. Good God. Hurts, 14 of 22 for 150 in this game. Mahomes, 24 of 43 for 177. Kansas City outgained Philadelphia, 336 to 238. But it doesn't matter when you're dropping the ball all over the yard and you have a couple red zone turnovers. That's the ball game. Eagles get it done. Eagles go to 9-1. Chiefs go to 7-3. We'll do our power rankings later on in the show. But I guess the question here becomes this from a Chiefs perspective. Do you view the drops, again, something that has plagued them all season? Second half droughts have plagued them all season, particularly the last 3 weeks, total drought the last 3 weeks. But you view the plague of drops as something that, and especially last night when it was, let's take last night in a microcosm, that was five. They don't ever have five in a game, especially key situations that they had them, and then the two red zone turnovers. Do you view that as a one-off anomaly for the Chiefs? in a season that has been plagued with those kind of errors, but that one was particularly a spate of errors last night. Do you view it as something that will plague them the rest of the way, or do you say, okay, it'll never be that bad again, and they still have the easiest schedule remaining of all AFC contenders the rest of the way? Which side do you land on that, the good or the bad? Where do you spin it?
I mean, look, with the offense and those drops, I don't think you can spin that a good way. I mean, that is, it's this, like you said, it's been a problem all year. You didn't really go address it at the trade deadline. You've whiffed on these guys that you've brought in with Kadarius Toney and stuff. And it's... I mean, Kelsey's all you got, and he's just not getting, he's not getting any younger. Like, this is not going to be, it's just tough to watch. It's tough to watch what Mahomes say after the game, that he could have thrown the ball a little bit shorter to Valdez-Scantling.
He was trying to deflect off.
I'm like, what kind of leader and quarterback do you, are you like, or level is he to say something like that when you put the ball right on him? And then on that fourth down rocket to Watson that hits him right there, they actually had a chance to complete and he can't haul it in. I think it's an issue. I think on the positives I would be taking away, if you are a Kansas City backer, is this defense is for real. And like, they keep proving it over and over again. Yes. And that's the one positive I would take away from this game. And yes, with that easy schedule down the stretch, are you still just going to be able to dominate some of these teams defensively, and this the drops not really be an issue? Yeah, I would probably look at it more that way.
Recognizing their issues on offense, I tend to spin it positively as much as you can. Yeah, obviously, right. That was a disaster last night. But there's a reason why they're the favorite to still be the number one seed in the AFC. That has to do with strength of schedule. Patrick Mahomes and that defense, I'll still take him in Kansas City in the postseason too. But that was tough last night for sure. Drew Dinsick next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't become a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, now's your best chance to sign up and save. Sign up on our Black Friday special today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $60. Sign up today, get access to daily best bets, unlimited access to our exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus all our betting guides and best bets for the upcoming College Bowls, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss our best new subscriber offer of the year. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our Black Friday special now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander's Kelly Bidlin. Last couple notes about the game last night, from us anyway, because I feel like I wasn't complete on it. You know, when I was talking about the Chiefs in the playoffs, the other way of putting that is, with all of their warts on offense, do you trust them less than any other team in the AFC in a postseason situation, particularly if they do, you know, with their easy schedule, get the number one seed, and once again, they're hosting playoff games? Maybe there is. I mean, do you trust Baltimore less?
We talked about this off air. I think you're putting this a great way, because no, I don't trust them less than any of these other teams. I still think that they're still a little bit above all these other teams in the AFC to me.
And the other part of that is, you know, I focus on Kansas City here the whole time, but the Philadelphia Eagles once again figure out a way to win a football game against a tough opponent. I mean, one could say that about Dallas, prior to their bye. Clearly, they figured it out against Washington, even though Washington tests them all the time.
Dolphins.
Well, and that's two games. You know, this gauntlet that we have them playing, that we've called it, Dallas, Kansas City, Buffalo, San Francisco, Dallas at Seattle. If you want to include Seattle, I don't think we can anymore. They're 2/5 of the way through that now. So the Eagles at 9-1, they are locked and loaded to be the number one seed in the NFC. Obviously, they got to get through these games. Easier said than done. Buffalo's not going to be easy. We bring in Drew Dinsick to join us to talk week 12 in the NFL, maybe some NBA plays as well. How you doing, Drew? Drew at @whale_capper. And again, the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. What's happening?
Oh, much. I'm one of these folks out here trying to sell the top on the Eagles, and still not getting any return on my investment there. I will say though that these second half unders in these Chiefs games printing has been a delightful windfall. But I can't seem to hit the right time here on these Eagles team. Not exactly sure how they're doing it. The Kelsey drop in the red zone, or the Kelsey fumble in the red zone, was pretty unbelievable last night. And then some of those wide receiver drops from the Chiefs were tough to, tough to get over, but it is what it is. I agree with you that I don't think you really press any kind of panic button on Kansas City right now, because their schedule is so easy. They should still waltz to a one seed here in an AFC that is all of a sudden a lot less scary than it was 4 months ago. So, it's entirely possible the Chiefs get back to the Super Bowl. And the Eagles are setting themselves up well here. Last night's result, I think it moves the NFC East market more than it moves the one seed market, because San Francisco is still a huge, huge problem for them. So, and that head to head is going to loom large next week. So very excited to see how that influences the, the playoff fabric in the NFC. But I think Dallas is now very clearly in the wild card driver's seat, where you're going to have to win three games on the road in order to get to the Super Bowl, which seems pretty unlikely with that squad.
Before we get your picks here, one last thing about this. I lied, but you said it about, Kansas City's second half totals printing, money for the unders. And I mentioned 5.3 points per second half all season, including a big fat zero the last 3 weeks. What do you make of that? Like, is there anything, obviously it's sustained this long, but is it just sort of an anomaly to you, or is there something endemic to this that they, it's Andy Reid, for God's sakes. Is it the absence of Eric Bieniemy? What do you make of this?
I think it's actually Andy Reid's schematic, and it goes back further than this season. I think this is kind of, what the Chiefs, they are aligning. This phenomenon happens in the NBA more obviously than the NFL. There's more teams, more games, et cetera. But, the Chiefs with the lead play pretty conservatively. they're not out there putting the good tapes on, good plays on tape with a healthy lead in the second half of games. So,
but Drew, not like this though.
This year it's been accentuated, but I think if you go back, a handful of years, you'll find that, it's a two-edged sword, right? Like, Chiefs are perceived as this high flying offense, super high scoring team. And so the second half totals are high. there are plenty of games we can point to, even primetime games. The second half totals were under 20. They opened last night, like 23. I don't think it was warranted. But that said, the Chiefs are take their foot off the gas kind of team. They are not, kind of continuing to try to be aggressive offensively in the second halves of games. And Andy Reid is leaving a lot of win probability on the field in his fourth down decision making, as opposed to, continuing to go for the jugular in some of these games. And I think, I think it's systematic. And I think until the Chiefs totals reflect an adjustment off of half of the full game total, to the low, then it's still probably a plus EV bet. So I think just by nature, you should count on the Chiefs being a second half under.
This is about as tough a week. Well, I'll just tell you what our reaction was on guessing lines yesterday. It's one of these weeks where you're forced, you're forced in the conclusion that the value is on a lot of crappy football teams. Is it easy for you? Have you made bets on some of these teams? I'm talking about the Giants, talking about the Jets, beyond that, Commanders. Where did you land in terms of, let's start with Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Any games Thursday or Friday that you landed on?
Yeah, I think your general philosophy is right, although there's plenty of bad teams that I easily walked away from. I don't need to get involved with them. But the Detroit Lions as a first half bet is solid on Thanksgiving morning. I laid 4. I have Detroit in every single teaser I've played this week. I think that's the best teaser leg of the week. Dallas and Washington is an interesting one, because I can't get to 11 here, but I have not fired on the Commanders yet. I think the Commanders are going to be competitive in this game in some way, shape, or form, but I haven't entirely landed the plane on taking the 11 points or looking for another angle into that one. San Francisco, I laid 6.5. I think they are, class above Seattle in every way, and I think the matchups all favor San Francisco in that one, despite the loss of Hufanga. And then for Miami and the Jets, I have Miami and some teasers when it was in the in the long zone at 10. It's a pass, but I agree with the market correction there. Tim Boyle as a starter does not move the needle for me. So easy pass on the Jets. And then so Thursday, Friday, it's a pretty chalky serving of Thanksgiving and leftovers.
Should it have moved further out after Zach Wilson's benching to Tim Boyle? Even knowing what you feel about Tim Boyle, should it have drifted that far?
I think it's a fair adjustment because the market also synthesizing the loss of Mekhi Becton, which again is, he's not a super deep mover, but this is an offensive line that has struggled in the best of times. And you now take another piece out of the equation there. Garrett Wilson's dealing with injuries. Bruce Walker is obviously Brees Hall is obviously not as kind of impactful without his offensive line creating any kind of blocking for him. So the Jets offense as a totality is a disaster despite the quarterback play. And I think you probably look at that defense and you wonder, are they quitting? Like, are they out of gas? Like, what's happening there? Because their level of effort against the Bills, while, solid, was not what we've seen from Jets in years past as they match up against the Bills. So clearly there's some fatigue impacting that unit. And then if you want to just flip the script and look at Miami pretty carefully, like, this defense is getting even better. The return of Jalen Ramsey has been, has been quietly talked about, but is massively impactful in terms of what it does schematically for that team. And if you're telling me this is an opportunity for Miami to truly flex, and I can't disagree with that, then I think it's just kind of a perfect storm of everything checking the box for Miami in this one.
Jets 9.5-point dogs right now at home. That on Black Friday. That's a noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern start on Friday. This is about as difficult a week as there is, and I'm struggling to come up with five contest picks. And so I am almost forcing myself to take some of these Thursday and Friday games just because I like them a shred better than some of the stuff we see on Sunday. Is there one you like above all on Sunday?
Pittsburgh.
You do? Okay.
Some dead cat bounce here with the firing of Matt Canada is not out of the question, but I liked him even before that because I'm not into what Zach Taylor was spitting after the game about their chances and their season not being over. I think it is very clearly over. Jake Browning experience is not good. And he's now up against a Steelers defense that I have a ton of respect for. So I think that should be Pittsburgh -3, I think.
Okay. I'm taking auditions for my fourth and fifth picks in the contest. Maybe I don't know if I can get there, but that's a possibility. More Sunday thoughts from Drew. Get some NBA thoughts as well. Drew Dinsick on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D on a numbers game. We get texts and tweets. Steve Fezzik, Kelly. Valdez Scantling cost me my million, I think. That's very straightforward. Michael Montesano, who won the booby prize at Circa the first year. This is my favorite text of the morning. Ready for this one? If Cup doesn't play this week, I'm making my largest wager in the NFL this season on the Rams. Because he knows what I'm talking about.
All right, there you
They're
go.
Better without Cup because the boyfriend isn't fed. Oh, my God. If someone had told me they did a podcast together, maybe I would have gotten ahead of that. Trip 10 on Twitter. My survivor pool for this week. I have Detroit and Miami still left. My thoughts on your thoughts on who to take. Any thoughts? Thanks. I had Detroit saved for Thanksgiving. I had the Dallas-Detroit pre-Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Kiniella. By the way, after that, God help everyone.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like he's got two pretty good choices this week.
He does. If you can get through this, God help you starting Sunday. Because even the best laid plans in Survivor, the window between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which you also should have had like the Eagles save for, and like Jacksonville's right around that area too. There's a 5 week stretch. There's going to be less than 50 people left, 50 entries left after that. That's my chaos. That's my over under chaos coming. New York Mets 16. When I saw the attempted spike interception, I laughed because my son's football team has a parents versus team game after the season. I was playing center and this 13-year-old nose guard dove through my legs trying to knock the snap down. I fell on him and laughed for about 15 minutes. Oh, kids. Three Jack H 3131.
I love that kid who tries way too hard. That's fantastic.
I'll show these parents. Three Jack H 3131. Really looking forward to the Taylor Swift song about a random guy dropping the ball. Quote, "You dropped the ball, so I dropped your call. Guess you couldn't do two things at once." Those are his hypothetical lyrics. Chiefs fatigue is real, and the door stays open for Buffalo. Neither team looked good. Nasty Neil. Let's rank what cost Casey the game. I'll go first. He says, one, Mahomes throwing the interception when the player was wide open. Two, the Kelsey fumble after already having possession. And three, the Valdez-Scantling drop, 50-yard bomb in the rain. You know, Nasty Neil, that's kind of what I was getting at in the first segment that I think, you know, obviously the Valdez-Scantling thing will get the headlines. But and so will the Kelsey fumble. But that Mahomes pass was pretty terrible. It was. Drew Dinsick, kind enough to join us for a couple segments at @whale_capper. You can follow him again. NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast. And then Dinsick Classic, which he does with his buddy Andy Molitor, which is a must listen. The Deep Dive podcast. You still enjoying doing the Deep Dive? If you could do the Deep Dive forever, would you do it, Drew, for the rest of time?
Ooh.
Drew's like, no. I got a Drew's like, I got a boat. I'm going to Catalina. You really think I want to do this pod just forever?
No. That's an easy answer.
Who am I talking to?
Part one of the question. Absolutely. Like it is extremely fun to chop it up with Andy, and we have kind of no filter on there, and there's, you know, we're beholden to no one, so we can pull, we don't pull any punches, which is nice. You can, you know, if you feel like airing out some person, some coach, some team, somebody in the gambling community, somebody in the, you know, a sports book, like, you know, it's nice to have the freedom to just kind of say whatever is on your mind. But it's a decent amount of time. and I think there's surely a time in my life in the future where I'm spending that time otherwise.
Yes, I think that's true of everyone. Week 12, then, what are your what do you have as bets then in pocket right now?
Okay, we can recap from the top. I have Detroit first half. I have Detroit in teasers. I have Miami in teasers. I have San Francisco -6.5. I have Pittsburgh -1. I like the Chargers at 4.5. I like Chicago at 3.5. And I played Buffalo Philly over 48.5, which is the weakest total on the board, in my opinion.
Okay. I'm thinking totals too. In the Buffalo Philly total being over leads me a little bit closer to Philly as the favorite, and the under, which I've heard some people advocate in the Miami Jets game, leads me a little closer to the Jets. God help me. So we'll see. I don't know. This is such a difficult week in so many ways. But okay, you seem to have some conviction. If you could only make one of all those, let's end the NFL with this. Which is the one you make, total or side, on any of those?
Ooh, I think it's San Francisco. I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea why that came off of 7. People kind of reading and seeing that Geno Smith was going to play through an elbow injury. Why that gave people confidence to bet Seattle is beyond me. This looks like trouble for them. And we know exactly how the Niners and the Seahawks match up because we saw it 3 times last year. It's not competitive. Shanahan's scheme cuts through the Seattle defense like a neck butter. Brock Purdy's playing amazingly well right now. Niners defense, maybe you have some questions, but again, with Geno Smith unable to make the touch passes on the boundaries, best of luck to him.
NBA, let's get what you got today. Let's get what you got tomorrow. Have you made plays for a couple days?
Ooh. Yeah, in-season tournament. I don't know if you knew that.
But
these games matter more. I played Utah tonight. That's my favorite look in the association. The Lakers are playing 7.5 against the Jazz, which I disagree with. I think this should be about 4.5, 5. So pretty decent margin here for me in terms of an edge. Utah probably is worth a money line spring as well. Nothing against the Lakers. You know, people are getting a little excited about how well LeBron James is playing at age 49 or however old he is. And people are a lot excited about how good Anthony Davis is as a defender right now. I'm not sure why he is warranting second in the defensive player of the year market rating, but that's fine. Either way, I think Utah has the right makeup to make this a competitive game, and the Lakers dealing with a little bit of fatigue. And, you know, I haven't seen this widely available, but very excited to see what Dallas opens at against the Lakers tomorrow. So this is a back-to-back fade the Lakers stretch for yours truly, as I'll take Utah tonight and Dallas tomorrow.
Speaking of the in-season tournament, do you have any futures play on that? Did you get involved in that at all?
I got a little bit of Timberwolves to win their group, and I got a lot of Rockets, which was looking good, but right now is in a little bit of trouble. I don't really have any strong like macro read on sort of the how this will shake out. But I definitely thought in Group B, you had Pelicans were, you know, that they were obviously an issue with McCollum out. Nuggets had Murray out. Mavericks already had a loss. And then the Clippers were just kind of non-functional to start. So I took a swing on the Rockets, and they're 1-1 right now. They have, you know, two more games to try to get to 3-1, which is what they're going to need to win that group, I think. But, you know, it's going to be interesting overall. Like it's been competitive. It's been fun. I like that there's something special about these random games in the middle of November on Tuesdays and Fridays. Other than the red courts, I think this was a smash.
I said last week, I kind of am surprised by how much I do enjoy it. Again, Tuesdays and Fridays, for those who don't understand, it began in early November. It will end with a quarterfinals at the beginning of next month. Right. And it's a four game group stage right now. You have some teams that have only played one game thus far and some games that have played three. So it's a little janky in that respect, but it's Tuesdays and Fridays, games that mean just a little bit more. The prize being $500,000 in pocket for the winners. And then the reaction that most people come up with is, what does $500,000 mean to NBA players? Well, to some, it doesn't mean much, but there's a whole bunch where actually $500,000 is still $500,000. So we'll see who's motivated by this. In a particular way here down the stretch. The Wizards, we were talking a little bit about the Wizards off air. I'm just curious. You know, look, they're 2-11. They've lost six in a row. They're everything we expected them to be, starting with the poster child, Jordan Poole. Have you been able to exploit this betting wise, or is it just more of just an amusement for you?
I know I have been avoiding them, even though my numbers consistently say that's too many points, even though they've had a ton of advantage spots already this season. Like they've had basically I've just avoided catastrophe backing them because they're deeply unserious. And Jordan Poole is probably serious. He is.
Yeah.
Look, it's entertainment. So don't get me wrong. Like I like things that are entertaining. Like that's why I'm interested in sports in the first place. I'm not a old man yells at cloud here, but he has to be the highest usage player with the lowest basketball IQ in the last 10 years. It's remarkable seeing how his kind of brain is out there trying to orchestrate offense for this team that, you know, that has some decent players. Like I'm not exactly sure what the vision is, but cool. My goodness gracious. That guy is an absolute maniac.
You wonder what went down between Draymond and Jordan Poole. You wonder. Wizards have given up more points in the NBA per game than any team outside of the Indiana Pacers. Drew, always a pleasure. Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Worst defense of the last 5 years. Easy. Yeah. Hey, best of luck. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Happy Thanksgiving to the Numbers Game listeners. Best of luck this week.
A Numbers Game on VSiN. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There is so much to be thankful for. Family, friends, food, and NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, why don't you? And use code Vegas. That's code Vegas. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody on Twitter. Such a great part of this show. Tom FT for three. KC made roster choices and are left with a Penn Quaker as the number one wide receiver. This is who they are now. Doesn't mean they can't win the AFC, but there will be no style points. Listen, this is so true of what we're seeing in the NFL with the Steelers having kept Matt Canada as long as they have. By the way, if you missed it, Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, or the former now offensive coordinator of the Steelers, relieved of his duties this morning. They kept him for seasons longer than they should have. And then obviously with Zach Wilson, so many like ourselves have screamed about how do you, when Aaron Rodgers goes down, okay, it's one thing to have, you know, to stick with Zach Wilson for a few weeks, but to stick with him past the point of where your season is realistically still something that can be salvaged, you actually have to go back into the off season. That they weren't prepared for that scenario and stuck with Zach Wilson as their backup in case something happened to Aaron Rodgers. So many of these teams victims of poor decision making. Blue Hen Bill having flashbacks to Memos. That's Kim Basinger's character in The Natural, who caused Hobbs to go in a slump in The Natural. Swiftly seems to be distracting Kelsey the same way. I think he means Swift there, but he went with Swiftly. Mako, do you think Puka Nacua has a chance at Rookie of the Year again after Stroud's three picks? I do not. Kevin Ryan, it seems every time an athlete starts making commercials and TV spots, it's no bueno. Baker, Kelsey, Prime, Fowler, Mahomes, to some extent. Be more like Brady. Fowler.
Be more like Brady?
Fowler.
Yeah.
I don't know what that one was. Maybe a typo. All right, let's talk some college basketball. And I should edit some of these tweets. Let's talk some college basketball. He joins us as one of the three members of the three-man weave. That old basketball practice drill that old school coaches used to make you do, the old three-man weave. I wonder if the kids do the old three-man weave these days. You can follow him on Twitter, or all their picks anyway, at 3MW_CBB. It's Matt Cox, everybody. How you doing, Matty?
I'm fantastic, Gil. How are you boys doing in the studio?
Yeah, we're good. I can say, I don't want to speak for Kelly. You good? Yeah?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to see you, Matt.
Great to see you, Matt. Listen, I just want to ask you about Wooden Award first. Before we get into the games that you like today, any of your reactions to yesterday. Last year, Zach Edey of Purdue, I certainly didn't grab him at the longest price, but in a Shohei Ohtani sort of way, when he won the MVP the first time, as he was crashing, I grabbed the 5-1, and by the end, of course, he was a prohibitive favorite. He wins the award. He's 2-1 here, and Purdue coming off a big win yesterday, where you know Edey looked as good as ever. Obviously, Purdue was a nip and tuck game, and then he sort of soared there late. But listen. 73-63 win over Gonzaga, by the way, should be noted. And Edey ends up with, you know, a cool 25-14 in the box score. Should people be grabbing the 2-1 on him? Like, even as unsexy as that is?
I just think the competitive landscape for this award this year is a lot deeper, and the value just isn't there. I was with you. I grabbed him last year at, I think, 15-20-1. But this is the time to play this market, right? So whoever you like in this market, now's the time to get in. The prominent MTE fields, big time performances, big time stages. You know, the guy who I was looking at was Ryan Kalfbrenner. You know, Creighton's a big guy at 60-1. However, he just hasn't had that kind of premier, you know, big stage opportunity yet. I'm not sure he can put up the points and rebounds. You can find him like 80-1 at a couple of shops. But I think you're watching today's game, trying to find a couple of breakout performances, you know, a team that can get red hot in a non-conference. Because what we saw, Edey was obviously dominant throughout conference play last year, but like a lot of the conference splits, you know, he was worse than Trayce Jackson Davis in some departments. He was worse than some other guys who made a big push late. But I think you build a huge buffer early, you kind of stat pad. Now the prominent feast week, when people start watching the sport, I think you got to kind of just sit in, hawk some big time performances, and maybe you find a guy who's dirt cheap.
Purdue winning that game by 10. They cover the 5-point spread against Gonzaga. It's not your mom and dad's Gonzaga team, or at least not considered as such. But with Purdue, listen, famously losing as a one seed last year. Matt Painter deserving his share of the blame for that. I'm hearing a lot of people saying, nah, it's that it was last year. They're making the Virginia parallel where Virginia lost as a 16 seed to UMBC, came back, won the national title. That was a good Virginia team, top to bottom. I sort of recoil at the comparison, but I'm hearing a lot of people are betting Purdue to get this done this year. Are you in that camp?
No, I'm with you. I think that Virginia team had pros. I think a couple of pros, especially at key positions, you know, DeAndre Hunter, on the wing, and obviously Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy. I think those guys have more upside, more dynamism than the Braden Smith Foster Lawyer duo that people were so excited about this year. I mean, Foster Lawyer wasn't even he wasn't even playable down the stretch in parts of that game yesterday. Now the guy that got Lance Jones, the SIU transfer, I think is a really huge piece. I think they're deeper this year for sure. Edie looks a little better, although not a ton better than last season. I'm with you. I don't quite I like the narrative parallel, but I don't quite see the same DNA makeup in this Purdue team. Now, obviously, Big Ten to win that league, it's a different story. I think it's a great time to bet them to win that conference because they're built to win that league, and the rest of the landscape just looks terrible right now, right? I think it's sort of the, you know, one of the main offseason, you know, through the narratives right now is how bad that league's looked out of league. But to win the tournament, no, I think their tournament woes will come back to haunt them in the big dance this March.
If someone was wondering right now, okay, I want to make one futures bet in college basketball, what's the value play for you right at this moment?
Mississippi State. I think they've been bet up a little bit. I think you can still find 100-1. Correct me if I'm wrong there. Chris James is a coach I trust. I think people are still, their eyes are still bleeding from Washington last tournament against Pitt when they couldn't make any shots down the stretch. Just a terrible late game sequence there in the first four in Dayton. They've added some real exciting pieces. Trey Ford, Josh Hubbard, guys that can actually make shots, some offense to sort of augment that defense, which is so stout. Tolu Smith is kind of the key domino there. He's their best player, hasn't played this year, may come back late. I still think they have a ton of depth, and at that price, I think it's a team that's built to go deep in the tournament. You can win with defense and offensive rebounding, dominating the possession battle, and now they actually have some upside to make shots and get hot, which is sort of that, you know, buoy you need to make a deep run in March. So I think Mississippi State's probably my favorite value play right now.
How about 150-1?
150-1.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right, yeah.
Now. All right.
I got 175. I think 125 or better is good. Yeah.
Hey, you don't need to brag, man. We get it. You got 175-1. Even better. Even
sharp.
Better.
Sharp.
As great as as great as football is at this time of year, both pro and college, it's an interesting time always for college basketball with tournaments going on as well. Is there a performance that has stood out to you from any team here in the recent days where you're like, oh, okay, that's something that I didn't necessarily see coming. Maybe I need to rethink this squad.
Yeah, UCLA. I've been very down on the squad all offseason, and so far from what I've seen this year, they haven't really impressed me. Just a weird roster for a Mick Cronin team, a ton of international young guys. But they looked the part yesterday for most of that game against Marquette. They faltered late, and I think they kind of, some of their warts as an inexperienced team without really a proven backcourt steady presence there. But I think just, it's still a Mick Cronin team. They can still defend at a high level. So that's what that's a team I'm going to re-examine. Going forward, I was looking at some Pac-12 futures, sort of trying to fade UCLA, but I think they impressed me more than I thought. And obviously, in that same conference, Oregon in a tough spot yesterday, going down to FAMU and playing there. They have a ton of injuries. Pac-12 again, one of those leagues where, you know, look at Arizona. They're a heavy favorite, but I think they should be, right? I think Purdue and Arizona are both, you know, it's a juicy price to swallow to win those leagues, but I think both are pretty good bets just given the landscape in those conferences.
Big games tonight. Purdue 3.5-point favorites against Tennessee. That's the second ranked team in the country against the seventh. And obviously Kansas and Marquette, the number one and fourth ranked teams in the country. Kansas 4.5-point favorites. Any play on either of those two?
I have nothing there. I am targeting to fade Kansas tomorrow. I think they have no depth. You saw Self playing his starters real deep into that game yesterday. I think after today, whether they win or lose, got that third game tomorrow. So I'm kind of looking to see some wear and tear from the Jayhawks today and looking to hop in tomorrow, hopefully at a really good price, regardless of who they play there. So, but nothing today for me. I think I would lean Purdue if I had to get involved in that first one, but nothing official for me there.
Okay. What's your favorite bets of the day?
I'm looking to fade some bad teams today, Bill, and you're getting bad numbers on these, I think. But with Buffalo, the running Bulls are now the stumbling Bulls. First year head coach, a former Villanova assistant. Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns lay in 10. I think they win by 30. And my second one is High Point taking on Illinois State. They're in the same tournament, both in Gulf Coast. I think they win. They beat the Redbirds outright today. So
High Point did not have High Point on the bingo card today. Matt, appreciate it as always at Maddie_Cox. That's Maddie with a Y on Twitter. And again, all of Three Man Weaves plays at 3MW_CBB. Matt, enjoy the day. Happy Thanksgiving.
Pleasure to you.
Matt Cox, everybody, from Three Man Weave. Jim Root, Kai McKeon, the other two of the group. We'll come back. NFL Power Rankings next.